Keeping a balance in our prayer. We've looked at lesson one, desiring prayer. Lesson two, understanding prayer. We are now in lesson three, learning prayer. To learn prayer, we went first of all to letters on prayer, part B, to rules about prayer. Last time we looked at part C, the Lord's model prayer, and tonight we want to look at part D, touchstones. Touchstones are just little key things. Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, as personal as prayer is, in other words, how can I teach you to open your heart to God? He did not refuse to teach it. He did not say, sorry, prayer is entirely personal. Now, of course, it is. I mean, we may pray out loud, but I found that the people that I, dare I say, enjoy listening to praying out loud are the people I'm convinced have had a lot of practice praying very personally before the Lord. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So we were looking at that in the model prayer. Now we find God attaches certain conditions to the prayer. He has given us the outright statement that what we ask, he can give, and that if it is his will, if it's done in his name, according to his plan, he will answer it. But let's look at these. I think it's important to recognize some of these because you have to go through the whole Bible to find all of them. But for instance, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What do you think it means to regard iniquity? This is that thinking of it. It's holding it in. It's not confessing it, not getting it out and forgiven. But the Lord will not hear me. This is not a matter of, he just doesn't give that a hearing when you, that heart that's praying is also regarding sin. John 16:24-26. Hitherto, up to this time, have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, or parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, or parables, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not say unto you that I will pray the Father for you, that it will be all right just to ask in my name. Stephen crying out to the Lord, crying out to Jesus, even as he was martyred. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. There's no substance to it. It's just back and forth. Now, wavering and the faith in this doesn't mean that you can have no doubt that the prayer will be answered. That would be presumption. What this is your faith in God is unwavering. James 4:3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. When I was at Bob Jones going to the Baptist Boys Sunday School time, a fellow gave an interesting lesson on prayer, and he called it locomotives. And it had nothing to do with railroads, but it had to do with motives of prayer that were just loco, just crazy. Locomotives. And that's it, that you can consume it upon your own pleasures. So let's look at concepts of prayer. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I was impressed when Gary said before us all, I have this problem and I want it right before God. What was he doing? Here amongst brothers and sisters, confessing faults. so that we can pray one for another, that you may be healed. I say I was impressed because that's a very brave thing. That's a very heart-opening thing. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual means it's effective. Fervent means it's passionate. But the key of it is a righteous man. So let us take time to think what we should be establishing in our prayer time. First of all, think of your prayer time as part of your Christian duty. This isn't where, now I need something, so I should go to prayer. When I don't need anything, I'm just fine. Your Christian duty is to talk to the God who loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. So schedule it, protect it, that is, treat it like it's an important appointment. Hold all my calls, tell your secretary. Don't expect complete success after one or two sessions, but plan on it regularly. The more you do it, the more it comes at home. Somebody told me once that by scheduling it regularly, you kind of find, and this is, for me, it's the opening the Bible and spending time in prayer, hearing from God and then talking to God, that just coming to that place at that time makes me feel like I am keeping an appointment with God, and there's a sense about it. I don't mean a vision or anything, but there's a sense that God meets me there. Secondly, think of your prayer time as discussing with God what he told you in his word. Part of my thinking about my devotions is that after I read it and study it and ask if there's a sin I should confess, if there's a promise I should claim, if there's a command I should plan to keep, if there's a correction in the way I think and do and talk, I should correct it there and look ahead in my life to when that's going to come up and how I should think about it. But then I like to pray myself active. I pray myself empty, read myself full, and then pray myself active. By that I mean I talk to him about what he told me. He will speak to you in the written word. He will speak to you in the preached word. And his word is working in your heart. So talk to him about that. Talk to him about some of the things that you are learning. I've found that once in a while, God will speak to me through others. Might be a verse that Angie illustrates and sends out on the email. But two or three times in a day, a certain message will come to me. And I want to say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. You're trying to get my attention on these things. And thirdly, think of your prayer time as balanced conversation with God. Balanced. So include praise of God. This is for who he is. Confession of your sin. Admitting that he knows all about you. But you and I try to hide ourselves from ourselves. So confessing is us finding that out and admitting it before God. Thanksgiving to God, praising him for what he's done, what he's given, and then petitions for desired help. So requirements of prayer. Four things. Check on your salvation. The Bible tells us, giving all diligence, make your calling and election sure. The saddest thing I can ever imagine is somebody that thought they were a Christian because they made some sort of prayer or they went forward in a service, but they never really gave their heart to the Lord. Maybe they were baptized. Maybe they were a church member. Maybe they were a Sunday school teacher. But they have not made it sure. And let's do that in the quietness of our own prayer time. check on your submission. Am I doing the Christian thing because I like that? Or am I doing the things that he told me that I don't particularly like? Am I submitting to him? Do I recognize that he's the boss and what he says is right and what he says is good? I submit. Check on your loving attitude. Your loving attitude toward God, your loving attitude toward your neighbor, to the people around you. This is the whole of the Word of God. This is the entire thing that God asks of us. And then, as we've been talking recently, check on your sense of helplessness. This is that childlikeness. Not everything about a child should be imitated. Just watching a collection of little videos where parents had given up and now they have the child's hoodie hood and are dragging him across the floor of the airport, you know, just dragging on the floor. Kid doesn't want to do anything. There's a stubbornness, there's a willfulness, there's a self-centeredness that is also quite childlike. But the childlikeness that God emphasizes to us is that the child often doesn't think that they are the most important, that they need help. The crying as a baby is the instinctual sense, please help me. I can't do it on my own. This is the childlikeness that we must come to. Christ said that no man can come unto him except he comes as a child. Not while he's a child, but as a child comes. Please help me. So check on your sense of helplessness. Does this bring up any thoughts or questions?